a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad you're with me on the program today. Hopefully you had a great Thanksgiving. It was good. It was weird. I mean, to be honest, you know, this first one without Miss E, but, you know, honestly, like, I guess every day is weird without Miss E around. So it was no weirder in that respect. It was the first year that I was in charge of cooking Thanksgiving dinner, but as you'll hear in my upcoming conversation with Mark Walters, I got to do kind of a training run. We did not have a lot of folks at the house, but, yeah, nobody got sick for my food. That's good. Everybody actually had seconds, so that's even better. I exceeded my expectations. Anyway, I hope that you had a great Thanksgiving as well. Glad you're with me on the program today. Also glad to have with us Mark Walters, host of Armed American Radio. I thought we would talk about what's going on at the Supreme Court on Thursday of this week, where the justices are slated to consider in conference several cases dealing with magazine bans, and one case dealing with a ban on so-called assault weapons. So if we are hoping for the Supreme Court to take some hardware cases this term, this is going to be their opportunity. And we talk about it. Actually, that's where we kick off our conversation. But we also get into a recent armed citizen story out of Oklahoma where the individual who acted in self-defense saved her life but lost her job as a result. So stick around for that part of the conversation as well. A great conversation with Mark Walters from Armed American Radio. Take a look and a listen. Mark, thanks so much for joining us on the program. Happy, hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. I'm pretty sure you did, right?
Yeah, I had a great Thanksgiving. How was yours?
It was good. It was quiet. It was just me and the two youngest, which is good because I was cooking Thanksgiving dinner for the first time. So I'm glad I sort of had like training wheels on. You know, I didn't have to cook for like eight people and everything was edible. Nobody got food poisoning. So, yeah.
Well, there's enough time has gone by. You'd known within 8 hours if that were the case. Yeah, we talked about that on the show, and congrats for pulling that off. Never try that with a big crowd, so you did the right thing.
Yeah, we'll ease into it. But so because Thanksgiving, we did not have a conference in the Supreme Court last Thursday. That's typically when they hold their weekly conferences. So they're going to do it, pick it up again this Thursday. You know, we've talked before, Mark, there are a number of cases that are just sort of in limbo right now, right? Mm-hmm. Like all of the cases dealing with under 21 gun bans, either purchasing or carrying, they're just sort of hanging out there. Got a couple of prohibited person cases, Melinda Vincent, a case, the woman who wrote a bad check like 17 years ago, has turned her life around, but still can't own a gun. Not sure what the court's doing with those cases, but there are three more Second Amendment cases that they are scheduled to hear in conference this Thursday. And these are biggies. These are hardware bans. Mm-hmm. We have been waiting for the Supreme Court, you know, since they denied cert in Snopes and Brett Kavanaugh said, well, we'll likely take up this issue in a term or two. Okay, this is an opportunity for the court to take up this issue because you've got Gator's Custom Guns versus Washington, which is a ban challenging the ban on large capacity magazines in Washington state. You've got Duncan versus Bonta, which is the long running challenge to California's magazine ban. And you have Viramontes versus Cook County, which is a challenge to Cook County's assault weapons ban. This is separate from the five lawsuits that are challenging the state level gun ban in Illinois. But these three cases do give the justices an opportunity to weigh in on bans on commonly owned arms, Mark.
Yeah, five cases you just mentioned challenging at state level. Five cases challenging this. SCOTUS, if you're watching, wake up. Okay, it's time. It's just time. And we're going to see if Kavanaugh's words pull any weight here now, because the time is right. But, you know, we keep going back and forth with this Connecticut case, the Cook County case. All right, we know what happened in the Snopes case. We all thought it was a slam dunk. We've talked about it almost ad nauseum. And would have lost money on that. But either one of these two cases work. But when you talk about, you know, at the state level, these lawsuits, one right after the other, it's never going to end until SCOTUS steps in and says, that's it, enough. We've got to take this case. I remain hopeful. And as more time progresses, I feel a little bit better about this term simply because of the volume of cases that are up there. What is the point now? You know, and again, how do you go second guess in the court, right? We don't know what they think. But how do you justify another wait when this is of such important issue across the country. How do you put this off for yet another term? Then we're looking at two summers going by before we get a ruling from the court on one of these things. I don't think the country can stand it anymore. We're in a post-Bruin environment, and it's just high time the court steps off their high horse and gets down to the dirty work on this thing and takes care of one of these cases and puts this to bed. That'll help you in Virginia. It'll wipe out gun bans across the country. The Supreme Court is working on three of its own cases where precedent has already been laid that you cannot ban common guns in common use. It is high time the court take one of these cases, period.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, and again, you talk about the impact that would have in Virginia. You can look at Minnesota as well, where Tim Walz is pushing really hard for a ban on so-called assault weapons. Up in Michigan, the Governor Whitmer's Task Force on Gun Violence came out with their recommendations last week, and they're proposing a ban on so-called assault weapons, right? So the longer the court delays taking one of these cases, the more it emboldens anti-gunners, right? And they're hoping by the time the court does take this case, they can say, look, it's not just, you know, eight states that have passed a ban on so-called assault weapons, or 11 states, right? Now we're closing in on 15 states, 16 states, and the more states that they can point to, they can, you know, it doesn't matter that these aren't longstanding laws, right? They're going to make the case that that these laws are, in fact, common and should stand. And there's another angle, too, with the Duncan case. And I didn't think about this until I saw something by Costas Moros a couple of days ago from the Second Amendment Foundation. If the Supreme Court denies certain Duncan, then that means that the magazine ban takes effect in California.
That's right.
As of right now, you cannot buy a magazine that holds more than 10 rounds. But the portion of California's mag ban that says if you lawfully purchased it, you've got to get rid of that magazine, that's been on hold, right? There's been an injunction placed against that aspect of the law. If the Supreme Court denies cert in Duncan, then every Californian, right, absolutely. Yeah, that injunction is null and void. And every Californian who has a magazine, who lawfully bought one that can hold more than 10 rounds, they will either have to permanently modify it, they will have to destroy that magazine, hand it over to law enforcement, or get it out of the state of California. They will not be able to possess those magazines going forward. And that has implications for hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of California residents.
Yeah, then you left one option out, and that's not comply.
Well, there's that.
Right. Well, and you know, we laugh at that. We talk about it all the time. But over the years, I've said this, and you have as well. But at some point in time, no matter where you live in this country, but particularly if you're behind that blue wall, if the Democrats keep doing what the Democrats keep doing, and ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake, it's the Democrats coming after your guns. It's that simple. We've known that for years. So, you know, I don't want to hear any different than that. That's just a flat out fact. I'm a little ornery today. Yeah, this stuff angers me. It really does, because it's high time these things get resolved, not to mention the millions and millions and millions of dollars, taxpayer dollars wasted. But back to California briefly. If you're behind that blue wall and the Democrats keep doing what they're doing, you're going to be forced to make decisions that you never thought you would have to make as an American citizen. And that is, think about this. Am I going to comply with this new law, which I know is unconstitutional? Am I going to comply with this? As a law-abiding citizen, this is where we get, it's another catch-22. We seem to talk a lot about those because gun control kind of works that way, right? But to force an American to make a decision to comply with the law is flat out wrong. And that's the decision that's having to be made. And as law-abiding citizens, where's the red line, Cam? When do law-abiding citizens say, you know what, enough, I'm not complying with this. I am going to stand my ground. That comes with great risk. That can come with risk of loss of your personal freedom, your financial security. It can come with your reputation. It can come with a lot. Do you want to be that test case? But at some point in time, enough Americans are going to have to stand up. And we have to, what's the other option here? We just continue to comply. We comply with everything they write. Guess what? That emboldens Democrats more so than the gun grabbers, because they'll just keep throwing more at us. Well, we know law-abiding citizens are just going to be a bunch of pansies and lay down and we can do whatever we want. So how do we fight back? Normally, it's through the court processes, right? You just named three cases where there's five of them out there and there's more involved. There are more coming down the
pike. Oh, yeah.
This is a never-ending battle. The five state level cases. Supreme Court's got to answer these questions. They can put all of this to bed and end this conversation overnight with a positive ruling in favor of what precedent they've already written.
Absolutely. So, right. Exactly.
You know, let's get real.
Yeah. And I, you know, and I mean, I know the arguments, You know, there's not a circuit court split right now on in terms of these gun bans, but one is likely to emerge with the Third Circuit when it issues its opinion against New Jersey's gun ban. You know, and I know that the Supreme Court likes to have those circuit court splits. At the same time, as you say, the implications here are enormous for gun owners, and there is no real reason to delay. Ordinarily, I'd feel pretty optimistic about Duncan. This was one of the cases that was GVR'd after the Bruin case. It was one of the cases that the Supreme Court, you know, granted cert, vacated the lower court decision, which the Ninth Circuit had previously upheld the mag ban, sent it back down. Ninth Circuit then kicked it all the way back down to Roger Benitez's court, even though they didn't have to, because, again, they wanted to keep this case away from the Supreme Court for as long as possible. You know, ordinarily, I'd say, all right, the Supreme Court's already taken an interest in this case. They've GVR'd it. They did the same with Snope. And
yeah, I was just going to say,
you know, not great to start there. So I'm not
down this road.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm not particularly confident that that the court is going to take this case. There's something, you know, there's a part of me that just thinks they're going to wait for the New Jersey case. Maybe they're going to wait for these Illinois cases to get out of the Seventh Circuit. That it still may be a little early from the court's thinking. I hope that's not the case, because, again, you know, if Duncan goes into effect if the mag ban goes into effect in California in its entirety, yeah, there are going to be, you know, lawful gun owners who will be turned into criminals overnight because they won't comply.
We talk a lot about California, Cam. Mm-hmm. We have to point this out. We rag California a lot. It's gun control. It's one right after the other. I think I covered a litany of just 10 of them last night on the show. But we have to keep this in mind. Remember, California has more guns per capita. It's the largest, most populated state in the country. Mm-hmm. There are millions of gun owners in the state of California that are impacted by this. Yeah, they're living behind the blue wall, but there are millions of them. You've got to look at this at scale. Okay, this is significant. And the Supreme Court, as I said, I can keep going back to this. There's no reason to wait for a split here, because you essentially, I don't know how to describe this properly. I'm going to say it's almost like you already have splits. You have splits between states where, you know, I don't know that a court needs to adjudicate that, because the Supreme Court has already laid out that these guns in common use cannot be banned. So how much more of a split do we need? I'll give you a split. Legal in Georgia, illegal in Illinois.
Right.
Legal in Florida, illegal in New York. You want another split? Legal in most states, not legal in California. You want another split? Legal in Virginia, not for now, and not legal in Washington State. That's all the split you need. And that's what the Supreme Court needs to take up. And I don't know. I would say that they probably would wait for a clear circuit split if they hadn't already once said what they said in three previous cases. Two of them laid it right out. When you go back to McDonald, you go back to McDonald Heller, of course, and Bruin, where guns cannot be banned that are in common use. They've already spelled that out. That ends it right there, as far as I'm concerned. There's no reason to wait for another year and a half. And then we get games played like the Fourth Circuit did in the Snopes case, where the entire court had to hear it. And what'd they do? Delay it, Cam, for what, almost a year, if not longer? Okay. Yeah. It's game playing. And I think the court's had enough. At least I can probably name three justices right off the bat that have had enough. Let's just hope we get that fourth one in one of these cases and get it quickly. And Kavanaugh's dream comes to fruition. Because if it's true, again, I'll quote Gottlieb, if they take that case, we win the case. They're not gonna take the case to rule in favor of the lower courts who upheld the bans. If that were the case, they would just leave those in place and not take a case, period. So we win. So get off your duffs, guys, gals, whatever you're doing. Just get it done. Get her done.
I don't know how many justices are watching, but I hope there are four, maybe five who are paying attention.
I hope.
Yeah, you know, and speaking of, so let's talk about this. Let's shift gears for a second, because you talked about, you know, noncompliance with these gun laws. There's noncompliance with the law, and then there's noncompliance with policy, right? Mm-hmm. We saw this case out of Oklahoma City recently, where a woman who works at 7-Eleven, she works the graveyard shift, mom to a young son, she violated 7-Eleven's policy. 7-Eleven requires all of their employees to be disarmed on the job. Doesn't matter if you're the only one working in that store at 2 o'clock in the morning, you are not allowed to have a firearm on your person. If you do, you risk termination. And she was fired after using her firearm in self-defense.
Yeah.
you know, we've seen this. I mean, I talked to a woman who is a Lyft driver. It's been a couple of years now, but, you know, she was the victim of an armed robbery in her vehicle. Two guys that she picked up for a fare. They put a gun to the back of her head. She used her legally owned firearm to defend herself. And she, too, was told by Lyft, you can't drive for us anymore. You violated our policy. Glad you're alive. But yeah, you've lost your job. When you hear about these cases where these companies say, you know, I mean, listen, it's just better for us from our standpoint. We don't want the liability of having armed employees. So, you know what? Yeah, it's worth it to us if you get injured or killed on the job rather than you have a gun to protect yourself. What is your reaction to those companies?
Well, what you just said, it's worth it to us if you get injured or killed. That is seemingly their policy when they uphold the policies that they currently have. Now, let's take this because there's a lot going on in these cases. And how many times have you and I on our shows independently covered cases like this? It's not the first time an employee has been fired. I can give you names of truck drivers. Okay. And I can tell you right now, every over the road truck driver's got a gun in his truck. It's almost like an unwritten DOT law. Don't even bother him. We already know that. So I've never met a truck driver. I spent 20 years in the trucking business moving, you know, heavy haul freight, full truckloads. I never spoke to a driver, independently owner operator, that didn't have a gun in the cab of his car. I can tell you that right now. Probably some out there, maybe not. But when you look at 7-Eleven, interesting stuff. She was working the graveyard shift 11 to 7 at 7-Eleven. I thought that was kind of funny. But 7-Eleven doesn't ban anybody in Oklahoma from going into 7-Eleven at 2:30 in the morning to get some cupcakes and ice cream armed. You can carry your gun as a law-abiding citizen legally in 7-Eleven as a patron. The clerk can't, but you can. So think about that aspect of it for just a second. Then think about the store manager who comes in the next day or in the middle of the night after an incident like this happens and says, oh my God, Carrie, or whatever your name is, I'm so, thank God you're alive. You're fired.
Yeah.
Right. Now, I don't know how a guy does that in real life with a straight face without being apologetic. I have to. It's company policy. You're not supposed to have your gun. This woman made the right decision. She said, my life and my son over my job. And thank God she did. The guy threatened to cut her neck off as he was strangling her after he jumped the counter. And what is 7-Eleven's policy? This is what angered me on the show last night. Their policy is defend yourself using store items. In other words, throw a can of Coke at him as he's coming over the counter with a knife or a gun or his hands. What do you do? Pick up the cash. What do you do? This woman was in the act of being strangled when she pulled her gun out. I'm not sure I would have waited that long if I were her, but she did. And you know the community supports her.
Yeah.
Not the criminal. Now, we're talking Oklahoma. If my mind serves me correct, in the previous election, every county in Oklahoma voted red.
Believe that is the case.
Every single county in the state voted red. I'm going to promise you that the citizens have this woman's back. Okay? I hope she writes a book. I hope she gets rich. I hope she does whatever she has to do to vindicate this from what happened to her. But it is an eye-opener for a lot of Americans. My son, I will tell you this right now, is in that predicament right now, works at a large grocery chain in the South. Can't carry a gun under company policy. He's also in a management level. He's behind the counter that if somebody comes in, is going to be the one getting robbed. What do you think my advice to my son is? We don't have to discuss it on the airwaves. I'll let you guess. Okay?
Yeah.
I also happen to know that one of his managers does the same thing. I'm not going to name the chain, and I'm not going to name any names. But right. The fact of the matter is, you got, what's more important, life as a grocery store clerk or life? So it's despicable. It's disgraceful. I'd like to see some of these company owners, these decision makers, be held accountable to some extent. And I guarantee you that public sentiment is on her side. Hell, it was on
absolutely.
The side of Daniel Penny in New York State. It was on the side of the bodega owner when he was being knifed or about ready to be knifed before he knifed the guy that was trying to kill him when he came over the counter. And both of those cases, the men were charged. And public sentiment in New York rode with the victims. Because even Democrats can be crime victims. Sometimes it takes being a crime victim for a Democrat to wake up and change their mind about certain issues. Okay. But these things anger me beyond belief. This is your neighbor. This could be your mom, your daughter, your wife, your husband, your son, your grandmother, for crying out loud. Imagine working an overnight shift trying to get by and not have to live on Social Security. You got to put up with this nonsense. So, I think most Americans agree with me and agree with you on an issue like this. And I would love to see 7-Eleven get enough public pressure. I don't know that they would ever change their store policy. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But firing these people,
yeah,
it's excessive.
It is. And I'm glad. I mean, honestly, I'm glad she's speaking out. I'm glad that she's, bringing attention to this. You're right. I don't know mm-hmm. if it's going to change company policy, but I do find it interesting. Over the years, I've noticed that you find these policies a lot more in the big companies, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how many stories I've seen where, pizza, what's actually kind of interesting is a lot of these pizza delivery places have changed their policy quietly over like the last decade, and they do now allow their delivery drivers to carry in accordance with state and local law. But I don't know how many stories I ran across where somebody used a gun in lawful self-defense. They were fired by their company for violating, company policy, and they ended up getting hired by a small mom and pop restaurant or a small independent convenience store, right? It's those smaller companies you would think who would really be worried about liability because, one bad case, all of a sudden, boom, there goes your livelihood. Mm-hmm. But these smaller independent shops seem to understand the risk here. And maybe it's because the owner is working directly with these employees and it's not just, someone up in the C-suite making these decisions. Mm-hmm. But I just find it an interesting phenomenon that it seems like these policies are, I think, more common in big businesses than in small businesses.
Sure. Sure they are. And I don't know if there's ever been, maybe you can tell me, has there ever been a case of an employee that was fired that later sued? I'm going to bet there probably was. I can't recall one off the top of my head, but I would love to see this woman file a lawsuit against 7-Eleven for, is she going to win this case, wrongful termination? I don't know. But what has to be addressed here? Because they have a right to say, as was pointed out, no, we don't want you carrying a firearm if that's the case. You just pointed out, well, I guess your life's not as valuable as our, Coke cans and everything else we're selling in there, whatever. But I'd love to see the actual policy itself be challenged. That, well, you allow patrons to come in the store. You don't even know them. Hell, you vetted me. You drug test me. You gave me background checks. And you don't trust me? But here comes average Joe Blow. They had background checks too and all that. So you trust them, you don't trust me. I've been vetted more by you than that person has. So I would love to see some of this challenge. I don't know how we get out of this, but again, you're right to start this off. It goes back to this compliance issue, right? We're not talking about complying with a federal law or a state law here. We're talking about an employer contract. Here in the state of Georgia, I can walk past any sign. In fact, I'll use my son again. I used him on the air last night. He sent me a text message to the family chat just a couple days ago. Hey, guys, I just walked past my first no guns allowed sign. I said, good for you, brother. Why? To all the lefties watching, it's not a violation of the law in the state of Georgia to walk past that sign. It is perfectly legal to do so. It can be ignored. Unless you're asked to leave because someone sees your firearm, then you have to leave. But it is not a violation of state law to walk past that sign. You cannot be arrested. So good for him and good for my daughter's response. Good. Something happens. He's the one that's going to be walking out. So they get it. We get it. I don't know. It's just a never ending battle that we have to fight. And I can't say it's a woke company because these policies have had these stores and these large companies have had these policies long before woke was even a known word.
Yep.
And this is not the first time it's happening. It won't be the last. And that manager out there, I hope you lose sleep every night when you go to bed, having to tell this woman who just saved her life and went home alive to her only child as a single mom, God, thank God you're alive. You're fired. I hope you lose sleep every single night over that. I hope you do.
Absolutely. And, I don't know if this armed citizen in Oklahoma has gotten another job yet. I imagine that the offers have probably come in from local businesses, who want to make sure that she's employed. We've seen that phenomenon around the country, too, when somebody does get fired. But, listen, bottom line, man, it's easier to find a job even in the toughest a job environment than it is to find another life, right? We only get one of those. And so I'm with you, man. If I'm in a position where I'm working the graveyard shift at a convenience store, I'm protecting myself. That's a dangerous job, and I'm not going to do it unharmed.
I remember when Uber and Lyft and everything first became a deal, and I got to looking at that policy, and I think I talked about it on the show a number of times, going back a few years because they've been in business for a while. But when ride sharing first became a thing, I got to thinking, so wait a minute, I'm going to drive my own vehicle, pick up people I don't know to go places that I might not be familiar with in my own car, and they're telling me I can't carry a gun in my own car. I have to take my gun that's in my car now out while I do this dangerous job for them. What people don't understand, convenience store clerks and cab drivers are ranking the top five of most dangerous jobs in this country for these very reasons.
Yep.
Okay. Now, I applaud a driver for Lyft, by the way, who can have a gun pulled on her from two people in the back of the car and somehow manage to use her own weapon in that tactical situation. Think about that one. That's pretty impressive, to be honest with you. But it is mind-boggling. So I'm driving my own vehicle. Now, here's where you get in trouble. If you're driving one of their cars, you're leasing one of their vehicles, for example, or you're on a purchase plan from them, makes it a lot harder for you to make that claim because it is their vehicle. Hard for them to tell me I can't carry a gun in my own car. That's just principle with me.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it's hard, but like I said, I don't know that these have been legally challenged, but that is the policy. Yeah, your car, but if you're on their clock, it doesn't matter, right? And you're not even an employee, you're just a contractor. But that's part of the contract you sign, is that you agree to be disarmed while you're driving for them. And I'm with you. You know, I it's not much of an option for me living in rural Virginia to use one of these rideshare services. I don't even know that they exist for me. But when Country Mouse Cam goes to the city, I really try hard to avoid using Uber and Lyft because I don't want to give them my money. Mm-hmm. I really don't want to, you know, support these businesses that we don't have 7-Elevens in Central Virginia. But I would be looking for those, again, those independent shops wherever possible, where I know that they don't have a policy that requires employees to put themselves at risk to satisfy the corporate bottom line. So
I will say this. I have asked Uber and Lyft drivers in the past that I've used.
Yeah.
Okay. If they've carried firearms before.
Yeah.
I don't think I've had but one young lady tell me no. Basically, everyone that I've talked to has said, are you crazy? You think I'd be doing this without being able to protect myself? And to think about that, the way they frame it, you think I'd be doing this? All you're doing is driving a vehicle to pick somebody up and give them a ride. And they know, you can hear it in their voice. You think I'd be doing this? They know it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So guys, if you drive for Uber or Lyft, yeah, keep a gun on you. Concealed means concealed. If you ever need it, you're going to be a lot happier you're home than losing your Lyft or Uber drive or Uber job. Same thing with 7-Eleven or anything else for that matter.
Absolutely. Mark Walters, always enjoy our Monday conversations. Thank you so much for being a part of this one today.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Cam. Thanks for having me, brother.
Absolutely. By the way, the Gundies are now open. Mark nominated for 2A Personality of the Year, I believe, right?
Top voices of the 2A, and I've already voted, and you got one of my votes. So I'm just letting you know that you two are in there.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, nominated for Podcast of the Year.
And Podcast of the Year.
Very much so. This will probably be one of the few times I will self-promote the Gundies, but go vote for Mark, go vote for me, go vote for John Petrolino, who is a top writer nominee. So, yeah, appreciate it, Mark, and we'll be doing this again very soon. Hopefully, we'll have some good news, some great news
to discuss out of the
Supreme Court next Monday, right?
It would be wonderful. Here's fingers crossed. I cannot wait to have that conversation with you when it occurs, because I think it will occur. I'm hopeful it will occur this term. I'm the eternal optimist with this stuff.
Go to Christmas miracle.
All right. Let's do it.
Mark Walters, Armed American Radio. You can catch him daily with a daily defense, and then Sunday's Monster Cast Sunday night. Mark, we'll talk to you again very soon, man. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me, Cam. Appreciate it.
My thanks once again to Mark for joining us on the program. And yes, you can go to thegundies.com, GUNDIES.com, and all kinds of categories. You can vote, I believe, once per day. I'm not going to remind you every day because I feel weird about doing that. But anyway, yes, you can vote for Barron Arms Camming Company for a Podcast of the Year. A lot of competition, I will say, in that category. You vote for Mark's Armed American Radio. Vote for John Petrolino for a top 2A writer. And, you know, you might have some other favorites that you see in the various categories, but to thegundies.com. All right. Before we get to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report, let's talk about this for a second. From city streets to mountain trails, your gear should go wherever life takes you. That's why at Modern Rugged Leather, every bag handcrafted from premium, responsibly sourced leather, designed to look sharp, last long, and tell a story of its own. This is my story because this is my Modern Rugged Leather bag, and I absolutely love it. Each stitch, each buckle, each strap reflects timeless craftsmanship. It's backed by a lifetime warranty because quality should not quit when the adventure begins. So whether it's the boardroom or the back roads, Modern Rugged Leather helps you carry confidence every step of the way. Modern Rugged Leather, modern style, timeless durability, backed for life. Life takes you places. Make sure your gear keeps up. Shop the full collection and find yours today at modernrugged.com. Again, that's modernrugged.com. You can also share that link with, you know, folks who you might be getting a Christmas present from later this month. Just say, you know, found a perfect place for you to shop. Just go to a modernrugged.com. All right, let's turn our attention now to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report. We will start there with a case out of Colorado where a parolee with a lengthy criminal history identified in a deadly crash that killed not only himself, but a father and three children. This crash, it took place, I think it was a week ago. And the parolee in question had apparently just carjacked somebody. Alvin Corrado, his children McKinley Corrado, who's 11, Torado Corrado, who's 8, and their friend Jace Green, age 12, all of Colorado Springs, died a week ago after a stolen car crashed into oncoming traffic in Douglas County. Happened just before 4:40 in the afternoon, involved a stolen Toyota and the family's Ford sedan. According to the Aurora, Colorado Police Department, the Toyota had been reported stolen about an hour before the crash. After a carjacking at Aurora's 9 Mile Station, the suspect identified as a man named Walter Hewling, 31 years old, of Denver. He allegedly pulled a woman from the driver's seat of the Toyota, then drove off. As he was driving that Toyota on the highway, he lost control for some unknown reason, overcorrected, rolled into the northbound lane, and then crashed head-on into the Corrado's vehicle. Hewling, Alvin Corrado, McKinley Corrado, Toretta, and Jace all died at the crash site. Mia Corrado, who's 13, and Jace Green's 14-year-old brother, who was sitting in the back of the car, survived that crash. They were both airlifted to a local hospital with life-threatening injuries. And as Fox News reports, the driver of that stolen car has a pretty lengthy criminal history. A Colorado Department of Corrections shows that Julian was out on parole at the time of the crash. He had been arrested in Denver County in 2019, Arapahoe County in 2015. Douglas County DA George Brockler, who has been a guest on Bearing Arms Cam and Company in the past on several occasions, said that Hewling had an 11-page criminal history dating back to when he was a child. He said, this guy's criminal history and the fact that he appears to have been out on parole when this happened seems like we're failing the community. He said, I think there's a lot of justifiable anger and questions that should go on after a case like this. He said, I've got questions for the state of Colorado, especially a guy that was on parole after he had a parole violation. And those questions have to be stern. And that is, what are we doing? Who are you putting out here on the streets? Fox News says, though juvenile records are sealed, public records obtained by one of the Denver TV outlets shows that Hewling was charged with assault when he was 18, kicking off what would be more than a dozen arrests within a six-year span. Prior charges include bribery, burglary, driving under the influence, parole violations, multiple other assaults. Most recent conviction was 2019, stemmed from a Denver assault against a man, his wife, and a police officer. Hewling was sentenced to 6 years in prison in 2019. Which would put him out in 2025. But that's not what happened. You know, as we've talked about before, in many states, you get a day knocked off your sentence for every day you behave behind bars. So a 10-year sentence is no more than a 5-year sentence. 6 years becomes 3 years. I don't know right offhand what the good behavior standards are in Colorado. But again, a 6-year sentence is not a 6-year sentence. Unless you do something behind bars that results in those good time credits being taken away. And George Brockler is absolutely right. You know, when something like this happens, when it's somebody who is known to law enforcement, somebody who's actively on parole, somebody with a rap sheet, you know, that extends to 11 pages at age 31, the community should be asking those tough questions. They should be asking pointed questions. My concern is that in Colorado, there are going to be a lot of residents who voted for this. So they're not going to ask those questions because this is what they wanted. They don't want to get tough on violent criminals. They keep electing Democrats who want to get tough on lawful gun owners, but put in place policies that go easy on repeat prolific offenders. So, you know, I agree with Brockler that these questions should be asked, but I just don't know how many folks outside of him and, you know, Colorado conservatives are going to be asking these questions. On to today's armed citizen story from Harris County, Texas, where the Harris County Sheriff's Office says that two men were killed. Shooter claims he acted in self-defense while being followed. This is still an active investigation. The individual in question, though, has not been arrested or taken into custody. No charges have been filed. They're going to present the results of their finding to the local DA's office there in Harris County. But if there was compelling evidence pointing to a crime being committed as opposed to lawful self-defense, this individual would have been taken into custody. He would be facing charges right now. So I think reading between the lines, at least right now, the indications would be that this is actually a case of self-defense, that the individual was being honest with police. But we'll keep our eyes on this story. But here are the details here. Two men shot and killed after another man said they followed him into a neighborhood in the Spring area, according to the Harris County Sheriff's Office. Happened Friday night. First responders say they found two men with gunshot wounds, one of whom died at the scene, the other taken to a hospital where he later passed away. Harris County Sheriff's Office said that the shooter reported that the man had followed his car for a while and then tried to block him in when he reached the neighborhood. Deputies reported that everybody got out of their vehicles. The shooter said the men started kicking him and his car, which is when he fired those shots in self-defense. Sheriff's Office says the shooter stayed at the scene, cooperated with investigators. The men who died identified as 57-year-old Timothy Underwood and 59-year-old Keith McDonald. You know, we've seen cases before, including in Harris County, Texas, where armed robbers will follow somebody home, whether it's from a business, whether it's from an ATM. They will then pull in. You know, you pull into your driveway, they pull in right behind you, and they assault you as you get out of your car. This sounds a little bit different. And while, you know, criminals can be any age, I will say it's a little unusual to see somebody in their late 50s. You know, again, we don't know the motivation here. But it does strike me as a little unusual that these individuals are, you know, 57, 59 years old. Authorities haven't said if there's any connection between the armed citizen and these two men. Did they know each other? Was there a previous altercation? Again, there's a lot we don't know, but we will keep our eyes open for any more details as they become available. All right. Finally today, our good deed of the day, in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. Neighbors in North Carolina who saved a woman from a house fire over the weekend. The home, a total loss, but the life of that woman saved. This was in Graham, North Carolina, not far from Greensboro. About 6:30 Saturday morning, firefighters in the small town responded to a home on fire. Two young men in the neighborhood had spotted the smoke and flames. They were able to alert the woman inside, which allowed her to escape. The Graham Fire Department said there's no doubt that their heroic efforts saved a life this morning. The fire declared under control about an hour later. Crews remained on scene for several hours. Cause of the fire currently under investigation. American Red Cross is assisting the residents. But again, the home itself, a total loss. And this woman and her family are going to have some rebuilding to do. But, you know, just like we were talking about with Mark, you can find another job. You can't find another life. You can find more housing. You can't get another life. And so these young men who saw the smoke and flames alerted the woman inside, allowing her to escape safely. We thank you for your very, very good deed. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of Bear in Arms, Cam and Company. And I want to thank you, as always, for being a part of the program. Listen, I wanted to let you know about something that we've got going on here. The Black Friday sale at Town Hall Media continues until 11:59 p.m. tonight. So you can use the promo code FIGHT. You can get 60% off of your VIP, VIP Gold, or VIP Platinum membership. And when you sign up for a VIP Platinum membership, you'll be entered to win one of five lifetime VIP Platinum memberships. That is a really cool deal. Again, there are great benefits at every tier of support. VIP Platinum, you get them all, man. You get the ad-free experience. You get access to a Town Hall TV. Get to partake in the live chats that we do each and every week with, it's not just me, but you get the Stevens, Vodka Pundit, Steven Cruiser from PJ Media, and a lot of other folks who are, you know, making themselves available to talk with you about big news of the day and really whatever is on your mind. We do ours, Ed Morrissey and I, every Wednesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Ed's actually going to be off this week, but I'll be taking part. I think Tom Knight may be joining me. Would love for you to be a part of that as well. And again, use the promo code FIGHT to take 60% off your VIP, VIP Gold, or VIP Platinum membership. But the Black Friday sale runs out at 11:59 tonight. So if you want to be eligible for one of those five lifetime VIP Platinum memberships, you better act fast. All right, have a great rest of your Monday. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Until then, be well, be safe, and be free.